as we stop and we think about our scripture, and we think about how Jesus desired to make us light of the world, we begin learning about this, folks, when we was in Owen's class. I mean, that's what we begin to learn. And my man Mateo, he's going. See you, dude. But we begin to learn about letting our light shine. And so we know that it is very important. It's very important for us to show the world that we belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We desire to be His disciple. We desire for others to know Him and to experience that same joy and understanding of Him and have that relationship that we have. And so it's very important, folks. And with today, in the world that we live in, we see so many churches today that come and they go through a ritual and they sit there and they go home and they come back next Sunday or Wednesday night and that's all they do. You don't hear anything out of those churches. You don't hear of them doing any good works from the churches. You don't hear of anything that is productive other than them attending church, which is good. It's always good to hear the Word of God, but it's always good to be the disciple that Christ has called us to be. And so we see that Jesus was teaching. He had, in Matthew 5, he was talking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he had given the Beatitudes, and he says, before he moves into talking about the salt and the light, he says that you will be persecuted. There will be people that will talk against you. There will be people that will laugh at you and make fun of you for going to church. There will be people that will take advantage of you as you try to help them. They're just using you for different reasons, and it is all a joke. They'll tell you all of this, folks. And you know, it's a lot of truth to some of that, because there's people in this world that use people for their own benefit. And you know, back before Christmas, we was talking about this, and we was talking about, you know, helping and doing the things that needed to be done in the community. And one gentleman asked, he said, you know, how do you determine this? Who needs this help and who doesn't? Well, if they're asking for help, they probably need some help, or they're thinking that they do, maybe. Hopefully they do. But, you know, a long time ago, folks, I come to figure out that it's not my place to judge that. It's not my place to know that. We just have to do it, and then we let God sort all of this out. We have done our part. So Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5, 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. This is a reading of God's Word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as we hear this reading of God's Word, and we see that God is saying, if you are truly one of my children, if you're truly a child of God, then you will become more like me. He tells us that in, I think, 1 John 3 or 4. He tells us that. And so if you are truly a child of God, then you desire to be more like God. You desire to have that given to you. And so he's saying, if you are salty, if you have salt, or if you have, that is good. We all love salt. We don't need it so much, but we love it. And we know that it's a good thing. To have some salty ham. If ham's not salty, it's not really good. It's just a city ham, I call it, if it's not salty. So there, you know, we understand what Jesus was saying. If you are the salt of the earth, then let your salt flavor shine through. Let whatever your gift is shine through as a light for Him. Folks, today we see people everywhere that claim to be Christians, claim to be people that they are wishing, I think, that they could be, but they just can't because they don't know their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so they are trying on this hand, but they're failing on the other hand. And so Jesus is saying, if your salt is salty and it had, or if it has lost its flavor, you know, you're not going to be salty again. You're not going to be able to do anything. This is something that is given to you. If your salt is salty, then you need to keep it dry. You need to keep it in a special container. You need to guard that container that it doesn't become wet and lose its flavor. And so this is what Jesus was trying to say. You're worthless to me. If you do not take care of yourself, if you do not let yourself shine through as a city sitting on a hill, if you don't let your flavor shine through, your light shine through, you are totally worthless. And so none of us want to be worthless. None of us want to be considered into that group. And so we see that as Jesus was talking about this, that no one will light a lamp and then put a basket over it. That's the craziest thing that ever happened. So I know how it is, folks, to be a young Christian, to be a Christian that desires to do work for the Lord. And then we decide that as I've made this acceptance, I've made this choice, but I didn't realize it was as much involved in it as what it is, Mike. I just don't know that I can live into it. I still see these people that I draw conclusions about. I see people doing things. I just really can't understand how come. And if I really give in to being the Christian, letting my light shine that I'm supposed to be, these people are going to make fun of me. They're not going to like me. They're going to think I'm crazy. And guess what, folks? I'll tell you something else. And Brian will tell you also. I think Brian's got more friends than I do, but you won't have many friends. Nobody calls the preacher and says, hey, we're having New Year's Eve party. Y'all come over. I didn't get a phone call. I did not get a phone call. Just saying. I hear you. Yeah, I know what Chad's saying. But, yeah, but you see what I'm saying, folks? People, it's the more involved you get into the Lord, the less people desire to be around you unless they're sold out for the Lord. Hopefully, if you're the preacher, you're sold out for the Lord and you desire to be in the presence of Him 100% of the time. I still watch things. I still do things. I still say things. I still am not what I would call 110%. But you know why? It's because I'm a human. I'm human. And I know I am. And so we have failures and faults. But what is the reason that we're able to live in this world is because of God's grace. And because He shows us this grace, and because He sent His Son, Jesus, and He died upon that cross to pay our sin debt. And He knew that we would be a failure in some areas. I think so much about David and how he was a failure. But God said, he's a man of my own heart. He was ornery. And he didn't always let his light shine. But he mainly lived his life for the Lord. So it tells us that when we're doing things for others, when we're letting our deeds shine out for others, that we are being the light for Him. We're being His hands. We're being his hands and feet, folks. He tells us in John 8:12, we've read it a couple of three times throughout the Christmas season. He says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You'll have the light that leads to life. Now, folks, I don't know about y'all, but I'm an old country boy. And, I mean, I've spent lots and lots of nights in the pure dark. I mean, the pure dark. And if you went off with Dad, and you, some of y'all here know my dad, he would see to it that you didn't have a flashlight or it would something happen to it because he wanted you to be in the dark. Why? Because he wanted you to understand what it was like to walk in the dark. He never give me a light. I ain't got a light, boy. I ain't got batteries for that light. I ain't going to let you have no flashlight. You follow me. You'll be fine. I couldn't keep up with him. I couldn't keep up with him. We'd be coon hunting. We'd be out frog hunting. We'd be out knocking around at night. And he'd always manage that I didn't have a light. So, folks, to walk in darkness is no fun. It's no fun at all. When you have to try to keep up with someone else that has the light, it's hard to do. And Jesus is telling us this. If you walk with me, he said, his dad has told me 100 times, if you'll walk with me, you won't need a flashlight. I got the light. But what would happen? My boot come untied or something would happen. I'd have to stop and fix it, and I wouldn't have a light. And there you'd be on your own. Folks, you cannot walk in the dark without a light. The world is this darkness. The world is full of this darkness. And Jesus is saying to you, if you will follow me, then you will always have a light. And at the end of that journey that you're on, whether it come early in life or whether it comes later in life, if you have followed him and have used his light to shine out and to allow others to see your light through him, then he will provide everlasting life for you. What a wonderful, wonderful story to know. You know, I'll never forget one night, Brian probably knows, but there's an old cemetery, and some of y'all from Cottage Grove know, there's an old cemetery over there that's called Price Cemetery. Well, Price Cemetery used to be grown up. It's not now. They keep it mowed and everything. Well, one night we were over there, and we was in the cemetery, and we'd been coon hunting, and old dogs had treed over behind the cemetery, and so we started over there. It's all growed up. I can't keep up. I can't do it. And Daddy and Thomas Jemerson and Frank Bood and a bunch of them was on. They were going on, and I'm trying to keep up. I can't. I realize, hey, this is no good. I cannot keep up, and I'm in this cemetery, and I'm scared to death, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And about that time, I fell over a cedar log that was about yay big, and it looked to me like a casket. And I said, oh, Lord. And it was just like pure death was in me because I'm thinking, I've done fell over this casket that's out of the ground. It's some kind of way it's managed to get out of the ground, and I was scared to death. But when you're 10, 12 year old, that's what's in your mind constantly. Fear, constant fear. You do not know or understand. There's nothing to be scared of. And folks, as I got older and I began to know and understand, it didn't matter whether you had a light, really. You're in the dark. We people where I live right now, they laugh at me all the time because I got one light, and that's it. I don't want a light on my hill. I want it to be dark. But there's reasons for that. And so I don't want any security lights. I don't want anything like that. So darkness does not scare me. I like that type of darkness. But you do not want to be caught in the world of darkness. You do not want to be caught when you're in a world of darkness and you have no way of seeing what is ahead of you. I've been there. I've done that in big cities when you get caught in places that you do not want to be. And you see darkness all around you. and you begin to wonder. But the one thing, folks, that is the grandest thing of all is when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, darkness is not there anymore. You're not scared. You're not afraid of anything. Because that darkness goes away. That light shines brighter than anything that they advertise on TV. It goes away. That fear leaves you. And as that fear leaves you, you become stronger and stronger in the Lord. And you become stronger and stronger as a disciple and as a witness. And you don't really wonder and care about who's going to talk about you or who's going to make fun of you. Matter of fact, you begin to be to where you enjoy knowing that you're basking in His love and you're in His presence so much that you hope people do notice that you're living in the Lord. So you see, folks, what we read as we poured the water, you know, He said that He was the Word at the beginning, and the Word became life, and life became light. Life became light. Light's the most wonderful thing in the world. When you need good light to read or whatever, it's wonderful. I can't imagine living back in the old days when they had coal oil lamp and was trying to read and to study the Word of God. It was hard, but they were determined. And they were determined that they would not go in the darkness, that they would walk in God's light, even if their light wasn't good. Folks, today we come and we desire, my desire is that everyone be a light unto this world. You know, me and Tammy's talking about last night, said, you know, you always make a resolution, some kind of New Year's resolution, you know. I said, I don't really have one. I really don't. But as I thought about it on into the night and this morning, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we don't worry about New Year's resolutions that we make for the world here and for the things that we want to do here? But wouldn't it be so nice if our goal this year would be to bring someone to know Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be awesome? If you just brought one, and everybody in here brought one, look how many more we would have touched and how many more would have come to know Him and to have that relationship that we have. Folks, I think sometimes we get our resolutions all mixed up and we get all caught up in the things of the world and we get all caught up in desiring things that is all about, you know, what's going on around us and the things that's going on around us. Right now, this weekend, everybody's watching football. Watched football yesterday. I mean, a couple of good games on yesterday. And we get caught up in it. And I was thinking earlier this morning about what's going to be on today. And, you know, what's going to be on tomorrow? What's going to be on, you know, who's playing this and that? And that's just our little feeble minds that's interested in this. But when I stop and I concentrate and I really think about it, then I begin to think about what do I need to be doing for the Lord? What do I really need to be doing that has my name written all over it? But I'm desiring to be quiet because I'd just soon not to have to get up and go do that. I'd just soon I didn't get that phone call, not that I'm being invited to a party, but that there's a need down the road. I'd just soon, Lord, not to listen to what you have to say. You know, Thursday or Friday, I don't know what day it was. Thursday, I had, might have been Wednesday, I don't know. It was one day this week. We've had so much happen. But I continued to hear the Lord tell me, Mike, you need to go visit this lady. You need to go visit this lady. Mike, you have not done it. I sent Pete. Pete went. I didn't go. Pete went. Pete's got good memory of going. I didn't go because I kept saying, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to do this. I'm too busy to do that. And when I walked in the door that afternoon, I decided the Lord would not leave me alone. Mike, go visit this lady. Go visit this lady. And then when I walked in the door, they were gathered around. and she had just passed. Just passed. I mean, folks, life is short. And when you, the Lord tells you day in and day out to do something, and you don't do it because I don't want to hear it, Lord. I don't have time to be doing all this. I don't have time to be taking care of all of that. But it was on my heart so bad that day, so bad that I knew I had to do it. And we had a funeral way down in her part of the world and graveside down there then. And when I left there, I said, I'm going. And I left and I cut through and come out to her house just to say it's too late. So, folks, you have opportunities. And we have in our mind that we don't like doing that. We don't want to do that because that's something, Lord, you know that I'm not good at. I don't really want to do it, and I'd just rather somebody else do it. So I'll send Pete, but Mike's not going to go today. And so that's how we live, and our light gets dim, and our light is dimmed. And, folks, this is a new year. And I pray that this new year that you will let your light shine bright just as that joy light on that candle last Sunday was just standing it taller than any of the others. It was just showing out. And I hope that you will let your candle shine for Christ this coming year. Folks, we're living in a time right now where we need it more than anything in the world. We're living in a time that is so full of people not knowing the Lord. They do not have a clue. And it's the young people. And it's the young people, the young couples that don't bring their kids to church. They have no way of knowing to let their light shine from a young age. And yet we send our kids back into this darkness to be with these other kids that are living in this darkness because they don't have an opportunity. They don't have that no one getting up and taking them to church. They don't have the opportunities that we had when we was kids to go to church. We thought we was being mistreated because other kids didn't have to get up and go to church on Sunday, but we did. We had to go, but we weren't being mistreated. We had to go because we were being loved, and that's what Christ does for us. We're being loved, folks. He loves us, and he desires for us to be in his presence. And he desires for us to get up of a morning and desire to be in his presence that day and to tell others. So, folks, as we move into the new year, I hope that as we take a look at these churches in the weeks to come, we're going to see churches that were doing some wonderful things. We're going to see churches that were not doing wonderful things. And you're going to see and understand that these churches are the churches that we're looking at today all around us. But we're hoping that we will be able to see that we can take a church and the people in it, it's the people in it, that we can take that church and go into the world and make a difference. We hope that there's lots of churches in our community that's doing that, not just maybe ours, but a lot of different churches that's doing that. That's our hope. That's our prayer. But we're seeing so much of me in our churches instead of him. So let's stop and think about it this year. Think about being closer to God, better relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and drawing someone to you because of the way you live, not because of just you getting a hold of them, dragging them, but because of they want to follow and find out more about who this is that you're following, who this is that you have this relationship. You'll desire it, folks, more and more the more you do it. I've said it a lot of times in church, and in a way it sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm not, folks. But at one night at Ridgeway Funeral Home, we had a visitation. And this guy come by me and he said, Mike, he said, come here a minute. I want to ask you something. I said, what's that? Known him all my life. He said, something's happened to you. Something's different. He said, I want to know what it is. What is it? I see it. I can't put my finger on just exactly. That was when I first decided that I was going to start walking with the Lord. It should have been wrote on my head, Jesus, right there. But wasn't there yet. But he did recognize a difference. And folks, that's my desire for everybody in the world that makes that decision to follow Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.